Welcome to episode 314 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that only can be made through experience. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Sandy, Lindsay, and George. News changes fast nowadays. We've talked a lot in the last few months about how travel has changed, and always have to include a disclaimer that things could change by the time the episode airs. So now that the disclaimer is out of the way, we wanted to revisit some travel restrictions to see where we stand and what you can expect going forward. So let's get started. So what are the airlines doing?
I think they're doing quite well, actually. I think I saw the news today that 1 million people actually passed through TSA today. First time in months that that's happened. So that's pretty exciting.
Awesome.
Yep.
Since March, I think. Yeah. We did a virtual conference recently. I think about half of us did it. And, Delta is always a big sponsor there, American Airlines. So they talked a lot about the stuff they're doing, which was very cool and good to hear. So, some of the bigger ones are still limiting capacity and leaving that middle seat open. Some are not. So it depends on which airline you're flying, but they all really focused on how they're cleaning the planes in between flights, which was
electrostatic,
really cool.
Whatever that is.
Electrostatic. Mm-hmm. And then I think aren't some of them still using UV, but electrostatic is the main one.
Yep.
And they're wiping down everything, like putting down the tray tables, stuff that never got wiped down.
Oh, I love that they're not sticky anymore.
The
kind of clean that you dream about.
Yeah.
The kind of clean you dream about and we all had to pretend was happening before is now happening. And I really hope.
I've said it on this podcast before and I will say it again. Not that I suggest you do this, but the seats on airplanes are now clean enough for you to lick them before you sit down. Do not do that.
What? I was
no. Outlander Travel does not advocate the licking of seats, airline or otherwise.
But
yes. I wonder though, with all this disinfecting everything, like, are we compromising our immune system so that we're going to get sick?
There's
plenty of germs to go around, girlfriend.
I think there's enough. You just grab something in your house and hold it for 5 minutes. You'll be fine.
Or just go play in the dirt and like grow some herbs or something.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that they're doing, some of them are waiving change fees. And I even recently got a refund from an airline that I didn't think was ever going to give a refund for a canceled flight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's normally cool. They just discredit only.
And I think that's something that people have never completely understood unless you travel a lot is... Airlines always were pretty much non-refundable. Every now and then you get a refundable ticket, but you pay a lot for it. Nobody wants to pay that. So the fact that the airlines are actually refunding on trips that are canceled, so it's kind of logical, but it's a big deal because people sort of expect, I mean, this is my experience. My clients seem to expect that they would get a refund, even though that was never, because it's COVID, so, and they're not flying, so of course. And the waiving the change fees is actually domestically, most of the major U.S. airlines have said that that's permanent. Now, permanent is permanent, right? Like, how long is permanent? But it's going to last to the end of the year for domestic flights.
This is the revolution that airline consumers have been waiting for.
Yes.
They took a global pandemic.
Before you get so excited, if the more expensive, you still pay the difference in the fare. So that was
did anybody else see that article? I pinned it to read later, but there was an article that came out today too about how airline tickets are going to be more expensive.
But
I don't see how they can't be because they're struggling and they
Somebody's
Elizabeth said 1 million people through TSA today, but that's down from like 2.6 million a year ago. So I think it's going to happen.
But there's been also talk about doing quick COVID tests and that would be part of your airfare.
Mm-hmm. which is a cost.
Yes.
Which is a good way to justify raising the costs. And I think, honestly, if you really look historically, and we've had Robbie Hamida on the podcast twice now, and he's talked about this both times, you know, what the airlines did was they basically debundled the pricing. So instead of saying, okay, here's what you pay and you get all these things in it, then they said, okay, we're going to offer you basic economy where you don't get to choose your seat and you don't get to take the carry-on. And Americans were like, what? That's not how airlines would. But you sort of, you ask for the lower pricing. And so they say, okay, fine. So we're going to take some stuff out so that we can give you the lower pricing. And then they're like, but that's not what I meant. So I think that what we really, as we see people wanting to return to service and seeing that, I mean, now a lot of schedules have been cut. So we're here in the Raleigh-Durham market. Our flight to Paris that we were so excited about on Delta still isn't back. I was able to sell it, but then it keeps getting changed again. Our nonstops to NCO on Delta, gone, and gone again. Eventually, they'll probably come back. But, and even, I mean, I talked to Delta the other day. She's like, keep checking, because I had somebody who was on a return on that nonstop for Paris. She's like, it'll come back eventually. It's just, when will it come back? And so while we have these less schedules, now we have decreased supply, and the demand is going to continue to increase. So anybody who remembers their high school civics class knows this, knows what happens then. So yeah. Yeah, economics. Totally. I mean, they can completely, okay, it was my civics class, but I live in the South, so, you know.
The rest of us called that economics.
Yeah, whatever. Economics. I think it was civics and economics, whatever. I made an A.
The other thing, which is like a C plus in today's grades, I don't know.
Or if you went to school anywhere but the South. Sorry, South.
So the other thing I'm thinking that people are going to get blindsided by is, you know, you kind of have this misconception that, oh, not that many people are flying, so I probably don't need to be at the airport 2 hours early, or if you're flying with Sandy, 6 hours early.
I mean, it depends if it's international.
Whatever. I've been at the airport 4 hours before a domestic flight with you. So don't even...
Yeah, well, we had no trouble finding a seat, right?
Well, and P.S., the worst part about that is you do need to get there a little bit early because it's still crowded. But then when you get there, there's nothing.
Nothing open. Eat. There's nothing to eat. There's nothing to eat either, so pack a sandwich.
Except for the McDonald's and the Chick-fil-A.
And Burger King.
If you're lucky, the McDonald's, the Chick-fil-A, and the Burger King are open. Because the last time I was in the airport, the hours were reduced.
That is true.
What's open is, and the hours are reduced. So pack a snack, people. I have a friend who works for an airline, and he's said the same thing. He's like, you bring your own food.
Good news. Starbucks was open at every airport I went to. And actually Atlanta was hopping. Like everything was open in Atlanta, but in Orlando, nothing was open. Cause I got the false hope. Yeah. I went through Atlanta. I was like, oh, everything's open. So when I get to Orlando, it'll be fine. It was
not fine.
Yeah, you hear Morgan Freeman now, but it was not fine. Yeah, it was
was not fine.
Literally Burger King.
In fact, it was Burger the King opposite of fine.
So Elizabeth, you flew like last month, right? And we're flying in 2 days. But how was the pre-check? You have pre-check, right?
It was normal. I mean, the only difference was you boop your own boarding pass. They don't touch any of your stuff, which again, I'm cool with. So...
Yeah.
And your passport or your ID.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised because I did check a bag and they really were kind of pushing paper boarding passes on me, which I doesn't feel like they used to do that. And I'm like, I don't really want a paper boarding pass now. Like, because my phone's already filthy. I don't need to touch that piece of paper. I don't know where it's been. So, on my flight down, which was connecting because on the flight down they asked and I said no and they didn't give me one, but on the flight back she just handed me boarding passes like here. So but you can boop your phone, you can boop the boarding pass, and you boop it also when you get on the plane. So they don't, you know, they used to take your boarding pass and boop it. Nope, they don't touch any of your stuff. It's totally cool.
So that's cool. You renewed a passport recently. Does anybody have any clients? Have you noticed any increase in the speed with which we're getting passports returned? I know some people have gotten some quite fast lately.
Yeah, I don't think I think they're caught up now. And I should have checked the numbers before we recorded, but they were almost caught up when I got mine. So I sent mine at the end of June and I got it at the end of August. So that's 8 weeks. And normally they say 4 to 6 weeks. Now, granted, normally it was more like 2 to 4 weeks, but if it comes in 4 to 6 weeks, I feel like that's on time. And so
they say 4 to 6
yeah.
weeks now.
Well, that's what they've always said. Yeah, always 4 to 6. So yeah, I think it's on time now. I would feel comfortable sending off a, so we're recording this in mid-October. I would say that if I had mid-December travel, I'd feel pretty comfortable doing it.
If you were mailing it tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I have clients traveling in January, and they just sent it off last week.
Yeah, I would feel totally comfortable with that. Yep.
That's cool. So have you guys seen any cool stuff that you hope we get here or you get in your town? Because I have a good example of something that I thought was really cool.
I have no idea what you're talking about. So you're going to have to tell your example and then we'll see.
Yep.
So the Denver airport is testing out this system and they have an app called Verifly. It's only for iOS. So I guess that's just Apple people. But you can reserve your TSA clearance time. So you don't have to stand in line. It's like a fast pass line for getting to the airport.
Have you ever flown through DIA? You really need that.
Well, I've connected through Denver, but I've never.
I will say, Denver is always on the cutting edge of all the things that all airports should aspire to be.
Yeah.
I mean, they still have like the dogs. Mm-hmm. What is it? The Comfort Crew or the Compassion Crew? The dogs and the one cat on the team, who are just there to improve your mood when you're at the airport and you are your most stressed. Have you seen them?
Well, when I went through Denver, I was on a flight with like, I think it had to be like the U.S. snowboarding team, and they were all completely gorgeous. So I was not stressed at all.
Very relaxed.
I still would rather be at the Denver airport with a bunch of dogs. Comfort dogs. You're allowed to touch because they're not like drug dogs. Cool.
So back to the subject at hand.
Sorry.
I had not heard about that. And you know, earlier you asked about, signing up, you asked about TSA PreCheck, but I don't know, signing up, I still think is not as easy. Although I think PreCheck is fine. Global Entry. And to be honest, before COVID, Global Entry was a bit of a nightmare. Most people were only able to get their interviews coming back into the country. And I think that may still be the case, but I have not flown internationally. I'll be able to tell you in a month.
What's Global Entry? Is that a new thing or
which part?
Only getting your interview.
Yeah, most people were. Yeah,
mm-hmm. You couldn't get an appointment. Mm-hmm. I mean, after 6 months, I still couldn't get an appointment. So I ended up getting my appointment, or basically doing my interview as I was coming back into the country.
And I think that is.
So we did ours. We did ours in Pittsburgh, and they had a ton of appointments.
I should have never.
Not according to their website, though.
When did you do that, Sandy? Mm-hmm.
I think we need to renew in like 2 years.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. In the last year before COVID, they didn't announce this, but they were basically trying to get everybody to just do it when they came back in the country and not actually set up interviews ahead of time. I have no idea the logic behind that, but I can tell you from experience with my clients who were trying to do it. I actually had somebody they ended up booking a flight to Canada and back to Pennsylvania, incidentally, Pittsburgh. Oh yes, Pittsburgh, because that was so that they could get their Global Entry on the way back in. They just had to go to Pittsburgh, but they wanted to connect through Canada so they could get their Global Entry on the way back in because she had been trying to get an interview for a year. Anywhere. Charlotte, Pittsburgh, Washington.
You could get appointments, but you had to go to Nogales, Texas, you know, Champlain, New York, all the major border crossings. That's the only place you could go to get an appointment.
So I wonder, that's totally inefficient and not what Global Entry is supposed to be.
Yes.
It's supposed to get you
America.
Quicker,
so well, once you get the interview and everything, then you have Global Entry, but to get...
The interview took nothing. I mean, because they've already done the background check, they just... Fingerprint you.
I think they just didn't want to schedule the interviews anymore. So they basically said, you know what? You can just do it when you come back through. And I mean, I I have no, like, there was no statement from the U.S. government saying this is how we're going to do it, but that's pretty much how they were doing that last year. So I think that is currently also the same. Like, if you need to do an interview, you have to do it as you're coming back into the country, which is challenging since you can't really leave the country very much. You know, there's only a few places you can go, so.
And there's no more popping up to the border of Canada to get that interview real quick for people where I live.
They don't want to talk to you.
They don't want
George, you're about to say something?
Yeah, so I just looked. Global Entry Enrollment Centers were closed from March 19th to September 8th, so they just barely reopened. So I assume they're probably really backlogged at this point.
Well, except that I don't know that. I mean, I probably would try to do my renewal, and I'm not sure what goes into that yet because I haven't had to renew yet. But I'd probably wait until we could travel again to use it the most.
I mean, to get the most advantage.
Well, and I think this is a good way to talk about this. I have lots of people ask me why their flight didn't cancel because, well, I can't go to England. So why didn't my flight cancel? You can go to England. You just have to stay in place for 2 weeks or else you get fined. So it's not that you can't go, you can go, and people are still going there. There's essential travel, there's family members who need to get back to see dying loved ones. I mean, you can still go. It's just you have to, when you get there, you have to quarantine. And I was, you know, just talking today with somebody who, you know, there's Jackie, who we all know has dual citizenship. She has a U.S. passport and a Canadian passport. But when she went to Canada recently, she still had to quarantine for 2 weeks when she got there. So she had to, so even though she had citizenship, of course, it's not, you know, where you're a citizen of does not in any way affect whether or not you have the coronavirus. So when you come from the United States, you have to stay for 2 weeks in quarantine, not talking to anybody, not going out, not going to get groceries. You can have things delivered, but you can't leave. Same thing in England. I had somebody who dropped off his daughter at college in London. He went over with her. She had to quarantine where she was in her dorm. He had to quarantine. So he got this little tiny room for 2 weeks and he, you know, worked and played guitar and did his thing. And then after the 2 weeks was over, they could roam about the city freely. He had to quarantine. So it wasn't an issue getting a flight. You can still fly there. So
I wonder if Jackie could fly to England and not quarantine from Canada. Like if she used her Canadian.
I think everybody right now. I think it's everybody. I'm not sure.
I think she was smart. She just relocated to Canada.
Which is what, I mean, and honestly, that's what my friend did who was dropping his daughter off at college. He could have just dropped her off and come back because you don't have to stay for 2 weeks. But he wanted to visit London with his daughter. With, you know, this is a big moment. So it was worth it to him. And, you know, we're in a society where a lot of us can work from anywhere. So he did. He worked for 2 weeks out of his little Hobbit apartment. He took pictures of it. It was amazing. It was this little tiny room at the top of a, you know, nowhere in London. And but then once he'd been there for 2 weeks, free reign. So
nice.
So have you guys seen the Hawaii regulations that just came out for October 15th?
Tell us about them, Lindsay.
Okay. So I'm kind of really excited about this. I don't know when I'm going to manage to squeeze a trip to Hawaii in, but you can now, there is a way to travel to Hawaii. You have to get a COVID test. It has to be the nucleic acid amplification test pre-travel within 72 hours from the final leg of your departure. So if you guys were flying from North Carolina and then we were going together from Seattle, it would have to be 72 hours before that flight. Sandy. And so anybody over 5 has to have this test. But then once you arrive, you have to have a second test. And I thought there was going to be a cost associated. But what I'm seeing now is it's required at the airport and it's free.
And the bet, well, free. probably is wrapped into your airline ticket. But the best part about this is that Hawaii actually took the time to partner with. So they will tell you, you go to CVS and you can get this. You can go to Walgreens and you can get this. And you have to go to one of our partners, but they have about 12 partners. And I feel like some of those were American Airlines and United, which was a little odd to me. But so that sort of indicates, it may actually indicate a little bit of the future of travel too, is that we're looking at airlines giving you tests before you can fly, and cruise lines perhaps giving you tests. By the time this comes out, I'm sure we're going to know more about what the cruise lines are going to do. But all indications are that that's part of what they suggested to the CDC they would do, is that they would require everyone to have a test before sailing. So I think this, but it's nice now, because at like when the islands first came out with this, it was like, well, where do I get a test that comes back that fast? I don't know. And you have to sort of scramble. And but now Hawaii said, not only do you have to have a test, but here's where you can get it. And, you know, these are our partners who know exactly the kind of test you need.
When I've done my tests at CVS, they were free, but I still had to give them my insurance information. So I don't really know if my insurance got billed something for that. I don't think I got a statement of benefits for that. But
When we did ours for Jamaica, it never did show up on our notification of benefits. So I don't know that they actually sent it in.
Yeah, I was never charged. Josh and I were never charged for ours at our local physician, and they will charge us for anything. So
your mileage may vary. Outlander Travel does not guarantee that you get a free COVID test.
Yeah. Right. So,
I'm just saying they still asked for it, even though like they still want.
This is a.
I don't know what they would have done if I didn't have insurance.
This is a big thing. I think this is a big step forward for us for travel returning. The fact that we can have access to these tests and they are coming back sooner than before. I mean, just think like 5 months ago to think about I get to Hawaii and I have to have a test and it's got to get back. I mean, I'm never going to get the results and be stuck at the airport. Now, of course, we have to go research and see how long it's actually going to take. Is it going to be a couple hours? Or are you going to be there?
Well, I like the fact that they're doing the before test, so you don't even try to get on the plane if you have an issue. But also when you're there, because the reality is you can get infected between the 72 hours, you know, and then when you arrive in Hawaii. So that's very smart.
Yeah. Well, and the last, again, not a doctor, but the last I heard, the first 3 days or so of infection, you may not test positive. It's not until you've had it in your system for 3 days. So that's part of the reason why 72 hours, that's why those magic numbers are there. That's what they want. But it could be that you test, you get your negative result, which is from when you test, you leave 3 days later, you could be infected by then. So it makes sense. And for all of us, it's a good thing to be safe, right?
Yeah, and of course, what this means is you just add like an extra 3 days onto your trip. So you're not going for the 7 day trip. You're going for a nice long trip to Hawaii if you're going, because if you have to go through all of this, you might as well make it worth your own while.
Hawaii is far for a lot of people, you know. It makes more sense.
Well, it's only a few hours.
It is interesting to think how travel may change, because this whole quarantine thing, and we're seeing all-inclusive resorts sort of offer these work and play kind of deals where it's like, come here for 14 days or longer, 14 days, pay this lower rate, and you can, you know, stay at this all-inclusive resort, basically put your office in paradise. And we've seen this building up. You know, there have been these nomad groups, these sort of work from anywhere kind of, you know, there's organizations that place you in various cities so that you can work 30 days here, 30 days there. And it makes me wonder, are we going to start as a society taking longer trips? Because some of it will be work. Like, we'll go and stay for a while.
I have a friend who just rented a beach house for a month on the coast of North Carolina and worked from there.
Totally.
And she, you
just
know,
think about
driving distance to home so they can go back and forth if they need to.
I have to say that, you know, before I've looked into those nomad opportunities and they seemed a little inaccessible for most people cost-wise, because there was always this extreme cost built in. But I feel like I'm seeing some of these offers come out from different all-inclusive resorts, and they're really reasonable. For what you're
although it is still expensive. I mean, $300, $400 a night. But that's the other thing, too. Are you Is your apartment lease up? Where are you going to go next? Why not go to Mexico for a month? You could totally do it. So if you time that out, I mean, it does. It sort of begs the question of how will we change going forward, because it does make sense to stay in a place longer. It, you know, it isn't as easy to get around right away. You have to test, you have to hold, you have to wait. Is it that we'll stop traveling, or will we change the way we travel to accommodate that? And I certainly hope it's the latter. I mean, if that's part of the deal, and as I'm speaking as someone coming from a point of privilege, I can work from anywhere in the job that I do. But I know I'm not alone. It's not just travel agents who can do this. You know, there are many, yeah, many jobs that have discovered, even though they didn't think they could do it before, yeah, they've discovered they can work from home now. So is it the entire population in the United States or of the world? No, absolutely zero. No, it's not. But it does sort of beg the question of where do we go from here?
I do think there are a lot of people who have realized they can work remotely when they didn't have that option.
But, well, and right now with schools not really in session, you're with kids doing virtual school. They can go to school at grandma's house, or they can go to school on a beach as long as they've got a good Wi-Fi connection.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
So here's another, this is kind of getting back to like airlines and airports and stuff like that. But one of the cool little tidbits I found when I was poking around today was that the U.S. is opening their applications for more countries to participate in preclearance, which they have not been accepting applications since 2016. So right now, if you're in a lot of airports in Canada, if you're in Dublin or I think
it's Shannon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Ireland, the UAE, United Arab Emirates, and Freeport and Nassau in the Bahamas, Aruba, and Bermuda, you do pre-clearance, which basically means you clear customs before you get on the plane. So when you arrive back in the U.S., you just kind of go to your next gate, you know? So that's kind of cool that if they open up more countries to that, that might make travel a lot easier and
it nicer. Makes checking that duty-free alcohol from Ireland so much easier.
Yeah. Yes!
It really is nice, too, because you have to get to the airport early anyway. So why not go ahead and go through customs so that when you get home, you can just go home? It's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really nice. And global entry, all that stuff works with the pre-clearance areas as well. So you have a special line for global entry pre-clearance. I know because our friends had it and I didn't, and they might have gloated a little bit, a lot.
Well, what I found was interesting is I love global entry going to get on security to go to the airport. But coming back, I get off the plane, I go through customs and everything, but I still have to sit there and wait for all my luggage to come through. So it didn't really save me any time on the return.
Right. And it also isn't available in every airport you might fly back into. So you have to kind of...
Although global entry is in most. Mobile Passport is the one that's not in all of them. But global entry is in most, really.
Donna, when we came back from Bali and I had Mobile Passport and just breezed right through, and that lady was so angry because she had global entry. And there was a line for global entry, but there was no line for Mobile Passport.
I had done that.
I just went right on through, and she's like, "Why did I have this?" And I'm like, "But she could have downloaded the app too." I mean, it's at that point in time it's free. Now it's like what, $4 for a year or $10?
It's $15 a year.
I'm gonna look at that because mine's about
$15 a year. Yeah, and I let mine renew, but I mean, I think as we're moving, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and it's probably not a train. Mainly because are all the trains running?
I mean, although we are recording this in October, so
yeah, and I mean, we are recording at a time where some countries are seeing another surge. I mean, it's definitely still a serious issue, but I do think too that as people are realizing, not all people, but as people are realizing, oh, wearing masks actually works, and this is something. I mean, I think that. And P.S., I don't think we're going to be traveling without masks anytime too soon. I think that's going to hang out for a while. But it doesn't mean...
Well, it depends on where you go. Right. Because when I was in South Carolina last weekend.
Well, and I was on the coast of North Carolina, and the masks were sort of, well, they were mostly half-masked. You know, apparently people on the coast only breathe through their mouth, so they don't have to wear it over their nose. I didn't know this. I thought all humans breathe the same way, but I was wrong.
Apparently in North Carolina, if you are over the age of 70 and you belong to the VFW, you're immune because none of them wore masks. And the bar was completely full and the bartender wasn't wearing a mask. And they had a dessert table that was self-serve. So there was like COVID breath. My daughter and I were like freaking out.
The nice thing about situations like that is you can still walk away from them. And I mean, there definitely are places that are taking it more seriously than others. And there are places that have higher COVID rates than others. And there's correlation usually. So, you know, George is living in the state where you can't go anywhere unless you quarantine for 2 weeks after, no matter what. So, I mean, the intent behind it is it's good intentions, right?
Yeah. Well, it will be very interesting to watch Christmas and Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, and we'll see how that really goes because those are major travel holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And small gathering kind of things, you know, like 10 people all together, that kind of thing. So,
without getting too political, I mean, I do think that people are not going to stay in one place forever. And I'm glad to know that. But, I will continue to be very careful when I travel for quite some time. So, and I think that's, you know, everybody's going to travel at their own pace. I do see a lot of things being put in place to make things safer and more comfortable. And again, as somebody who doesn't like people touching me anyway, I think so far my travel experiences have been pretty positive. You know, I don't mind standing in line 6 feet apart from anybody else. That actually makes me happy. So
yeah, I kind of hope we keep that. I'm happy to not have someone breathing down the back of my neck.
I like it a lot.
And I like people.
I like some people, but
I like some. Yeah. I do think that this is just, you know, we always talk about being responsible travelers and being respectful and mindful and being aware of what where we're going and being courteous for others. And I think this is just going forward in travel. This is just one more new component to that is being mindful of your fellow passenger and being courteous and careful.
I agree.
Yep.
Well, on that note, that's our show for this week. We want to thank you for hanging out with us. So please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because we'd love to hear from you. So on behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, we want to thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.